This is the Jerry DePoto Show.
Presented by Ram Trucks.
And Geico. Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
Looking forward to it every week.
The latest transactions. The breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves. The reason behind the decisions that shape the organization.
I love the time together. It gives me a chance to hold myself accountable.
Now, here's Danny, Dave, and more.
We have the Mariners GM, in this case a life preserver, saving us from ourselves. Jerry, how are you doing?
I have to say, having just spent a minute-ish on hold waiting for that story to wrap up, how I'm doing is fascinated. Fascinated with stories of a man, two women, trunks, X-rated movies. You never know what you're going to hear on 710.
Yeah, the movie was everything you wanted to know about sex, but were afraid to ask.
Oh, it's a Woody Allen movie,
oh,
right?
That's Woody Allen.
Okay, that's not as dirty as it sounded. Let's get to the baseball here. Jerry, really fun to watch your team playing. You guys keep rolling. 8-game winning streak snapped yesterday. Man, this has got to be fun for you to watch how this thing has come together.
I think it's fun for all of us, and you know, a bit of a clunker yesterday, but for the most part, we have been terrific, fun to watch over these first 3 months of the season. Now, actually, 3+ months of the season, the energy has been great. I think the obvious, which is coming through a couple of sweeps in Baltimore and Kansas City, and taking care of our business. Game one of this Angels series, and we were due for a bit of a deflation, and hopefully we can get back on the horse tonight with Marco on the mound. But from the starting pitching to the bullpen to someone new every day chipping in on the offensive side to win games, we're getting it done, and it's been a lot of fun.
Jerry, we've talked a lot about Marco Gonzalez and kind of the emergence that he's had this year, and even mentioned kind of how you guys have found value in starting pitching with a guy that maybe doesn't have the velocity that teams would ideally like in a starter, but has athleticism, competitiveness. From your perspective, it seems like he's become a more effective strikeout pitcher. He's gotten more strikeouts this year. What do you attribute that to?
Well, it's actually, and I've said this before about Marco, Marco's always been good, and at the minor league levels, Marco's always generated a pretty healthy strikeout rate. But that's mostly consistent with what he's doing now for us at the major league level. So the way I equate it is that Marco he's adjusted to being a major leaguer. He's obviously refined his pitch qualities, particularly the way he uses his fastball and the way he sequences his curveball, cutter, and change. I think it's the development of the cutter, but I don't think it's a shocking strikeout rate, because that's roughly what he's always done in the minors. And while sometimes you would consider a player likely to take a step back with the jump from minor league baseball to major league baseball, Marco's not a guy that does it based on velocity. So it's that feel of the pitch and to sequence, it's very believable to me. And I think he's been terrific for us all year, and I suspect it will continue.
Well, it's sure been fun to watch, Jerry. And I'm just wondering, he's at 100 innings now starting for you tonight. What's the plan for him in the second half of the season? Because when you talk about adding depth to that rotation, I imagine it's with Marco in mind.
Yeah, it's Marco in mind. It's James Paxton. It's Wava Block. It's having a variety of guys who have never really or consistently run up those kind of innings totals. Now, we don't want to place a manufactured or an artificial number on them. We want to let them and their bodies and their performance tell us, you know, at what point they're starting to tire out and need a little help. And now doesn't seem that time. But we want to be open to it. And we have no fixed number, particularly with these pitchers, with innings pitched. But we do believe that there's that 150, 160 inning range where we do have to get our antenna up and make sure that we're giving them the help they need. They might need that extra day, bump them to the sixth day when possible, or even for a period of time run six starters, just to make sure that we get through the long season and prepare ourselves for what we hope is a run into the postseason.
Hey, Jerry, having listened to the Wheelhouse podcast, I want to fold in some goofy questions. And my first one was, I heard that there was some badminton played in the DePoto backyard over the 4th of July. My question for you is, did you get sore?
Did I get sore playing badminton?
Yes.
No, but it was more about the. It was more about my competition than the.
Was it your
the,
son?
They weren't forcing me to run around a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, I played badminton.
It was my kid.
Yeah, you were playing against your kid. I played against my nephew, and it got really competitive, and I was drenched in sweat, and next thing you know, I was sore the next day. So you're in better shape than I am. Hey, I want to ask you about what you said about Scott Servais, because you said, you know, tactically and as far as from the standpoint of managing personalities, that that Scott Servais is, you think, at the absolute top of his game right now.
I really couldn't be happier with where Scott is and how much he has evolved as a major league manager over these 3 years. And I really don't think there's any more he could have done for the 2018 Mariners than what he has. We've dealt with adversity. He's had to be tactically precise all season long because of the nature of our run differential. It is what it is. Having a manager call the right shots, make the pitching changes at the right time, and push the right buttons in a lot of close games is kind of how you make your money. And I think Scott has done a wonderful job of it. And I've always thought that his ability in the clubhouse, managing people and personalities and developing culture has been a great strength of his. And I think he deserves a lot of credit, if not the lion's share of the credit, for so much of the good things that have happened to this club and really what we've done as a franchise over these last couple of years.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a topic last week, Jerry, where it was like, okay, who's most responsible for where the Mariners are right now? And the good news was that there was a lot of different – it's a huge, wide range. It was you, it was Scott Servais, it was Edwin Diaz, it was Gene Segura, and it was D. Gordon. So – good place to be in where, you know, you're trying to, you know, usually it's pretty clear there's one superstar. Nelson Cruz was in there, but it's nice that, and I just wanted to tell you, it was evenly distributed amongst probably six different people.
And that's the nature of what we're about. That's our culture. It's all in it together type of deal. And everybody pitches in, does their part. We have no huge egos to try to balance. And that's been such a refreshing development, especially what we've seen this year, is a team yelling. And, you know, it takes some touch to manage that. And I think Scotty's done a wonderful job with it. But to win a season, to win and get to the postseason, to win at a 63% clip the way we have this to this point, requires a village, and it requires a 25-man roster that all clicks together. And right now I think you're seeing that. I'm glad people have identified that as well.
Jerry, we got the news today that Ariel Miranda has been released and he's going to pitch in Japan. And I'm just wondering if you could give us some background on that, because it to me, and maybe it's a misperception and I misperceive things all the time, but Miranda looked like he pitched well against the Astros, the one spot start that he had in April, and then he ended up in Tacoma, and it sounds like he had a blister-type problem. I'm not sure what was going on there, whether he fell out of favor or what, but I didn't really hear much about him in the last month or two, and now he's off to Japan.
No, Ariel, some of it is doing the right thing for the human being. Right now, Ariel had fallen down our depth chart, so to speak, and did a very good job last year of taking the ball every fifth day in a season where we were battling a ton of injury. And he did yeoman work and effectively leading our team in innings. And you know, it wasn't a grossly different skill set than what Ariel had always shown before, which was, you know, an average-ish to tick above fastball velocity and two different forms of changeup. And he went out there and hit battle every night, and a really good athlete, and loved the makeup. He's a really good guy. But Ariel's he's married. He's got a young family. Obviously, came here from Cuba, and in his world, he would certainly like to make more money than you generally make playing in AAA. And we could not really promise him that there was a major league job for him on the near horizon. And we came to an agreement with a team in Japan to sell his contract or the rights to his contract. He agreed on a contract with the Japanese club, and he'll go over and join them. He will make considerably more money than he would have made here. We will get a financial benefit for allowing that to happen. and hopefully repurpose it in a productive way for our roster. And most importantly, give Ariel and his family. You know, Miranda's not a young guy. He's coming up on 30 years old. By the standards of baseball, you are starting to move the needle. It's not a prospect we're waiting to hit. This is an opportunity for him to do the right thing for his family and put a little bit of money in the bank. And maybe 2-3 years down the road, he comes back and he'll be the next Wade LeBlanc.
This is something that thankfully you guys haven't had to really, really experiment or worry about much this year, which is depth of starting pitching. You've had, knock on wood, and I'm rapping furiously in my knuckles on my noggin. You've had guys stay healthy. Where is your depth at starting pitching at right now with the departure of Miranda?
You know, we've got our five. We've got Paxton, we've got Leek, we've got Felix, we've got Marco and Wade LeBlanc, five in the big leagues. Our long man swing man right now is Roannis Elias, who's done a terrific job since we picked him up from the Red Sox and called him to the big leagues. And then at AAA Tacoma, we've got Christian Bergman. On the one day we called him to the big leagues through seven shutout innings versus Texas. We've got Rob Whalen, who had a heck of a day getting us over the hump in a relief outing. I believe it was against Detroit here earlier in the year. And we feel pretty comfortable with that group that we have at Tacoma and even a couple of the guys we have throwing right now in Arkansas. And we're seeing a resurgent Max Posey since we fixed a few mechanical flaws. And there are a number of guys that we would feel comfortable calling on for a major league start as depth pieces. And we are getting into that portion of the season where we do expect or hope to add some depth via trade, whether it's adding to our major league club in the rotation or the bullpen with multi-inning arms or a starter.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here, his weekly visit with us on the Venue Kings Hotline. And Jerry, I stumbled across a story on ESPN.com about Nelson Cruz's naps and that he's pretty adamant about his sleep. It got me to thinking because I know that one of the additions in the offseason was Lorena Martin, who's in charge of the director of high performance. And I'm not asking questions about any proprietary stuff that you guys have instituted, but have you seen some changes in maybe the habits and ways that players prepare in over the past couple of years and even specifically since Lorena was added?
I do think there's a few players that have been positively affected or changed maybe some of their habits and not necessarily because they had bad habits, because now they just know a little more. And we do have some players, most notably, that have taken advantage. We have a sleep room in our clubhouse that we built prior to the 2017 season to give our guys a chance to recharge the battery, so to speak. There's enough background and medical information that suggests something as simple as a 20-minute nap is just going to recharge the athlete before they go out to compete. And guys are taking advantage of it. And I think some of the guys that have really benefited, Gene Segura is one of them. And it's something I don't think he was doing enough of before or any of. And he's doing it now. And I think he's seen positive results. And Nelson, that's not really a new development for Nelly. Nelly, he likes his sleep and he gets a lot of it. He's probably as conscious of what his body needs in terms of needing to recharge as any player I've ever been around. And you know, my thought is that Nelson's hours of sleep probably run in conjunction with his percentage of body muscle. He needs a little more than the rest of us.
I like that. Do you ever duck into the nap room, Jerry?
I walk past the nap room and I look at it longingly, thinking some other time. I don't, yeah. You know. I will get my 20 minutes home and then get to work and do my thing. But I'm not required to run around and throw pitches, run bases, and hit homers. I talk on telephones.
Hey, Jerry, tell us about, I was also listening to the podcast about some of your prospects and some of the guys that you find. It's so fascinating to me. Like the scouts in the NFL, I used to call them spies because, you know, they would show up at camp and they would come up to you and start talking to you and tell you everything about your life. And you look at them like, who in the hell are you? And, you know, you have these guys just that are scouring the world basically for players. And you found this kid. I'm going to screw up his first name. It's Marte Nuovi. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, Nuovi Marte.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about him. He sounds really excited. He's like a young kid, right? 15, 16 years old?
Yeah, 16 years old. He's the newest member of the Mariners. We just signed an international class that was about, I think, 9 players we expect to sign or have signed by the end of this first week in the international signing period. And Nuelve was for the most part, the headliner. One of what we think is the best 6 or 8 international prospects in this year's market. And I think that is consistent with the industry's opinion of Nuelve. Generally comes out on third-party lists as one of the top 10 prospects internationally. 5-tool kid. He's a shortstop. Really good athlete. He does roughly everything on a field that you would like to see a kid his age do. He has advanced fielded hit and advanced power for a 16-year-old, and he's hit with a wood bat. We've had him in various different tryout situations or camps down in the Dominican Republic, and we were thrilled to get him. Think it's a pretty good outcome for us. And, you know, he's going to start out his career at shortstop, but we feel like there's enough bat there to potentially play up on a corner should his body grow him off of shortstop, because he's going to be a big man. And we really like that combination of skill. Even coming out of the draft, we also signed a left-hand pitcher out of Taiwan by the name of Tang, who's 17 years old, going to be 18 by the time he truly gets his pro career underway. He is back in Taiwan right now waiting to graduate high school. And once that occurs, he'll report to Arizona and join our team down in Peoria. But again, a 17-year-old kid can really spin a curveball, get the fastball up to 93 miles an hour, and has been the top pitcher for the international team or the national team here for the last 2 years, so since he was 16 years old. And a terrifically talented young kid, and add that together with last year's international class, which was highlighted by Julio Rodriguez, an outfielder who is right now tearing it up for us in the Dominican Summer League, and what we think was a pretty good 2018 draft class headed by Logan Gilbert and Josh Towers, who we feel like have a chance to be, you know, in reverse order, an everyday center fielder and a top half of the rotation type starting pitcher. It's been a good month to add talent to the Mariners system.
Jerry, I've only got time for one more question. I'm going to give you a choice here. Would you like a question about Mike Zunino taking his second day off in a row today, or one about Bark in the Park?
Geez, let me think. Bark in the Park.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Jerry. I love you for that. Okay, so Bark in the Park. You're going to have it again tonight. I'm bringing my dog, River. What do you think about the whole idea? You've got 4 barks in the park there. You like the idea of having a bunch of hounds there at the park?
I love it because my wife brings my dogs to the ballpark, which is a, you know, doggy go to work day. It's fun. It gives people something to look forward to, and you know, I'm a dog lover, and it's unique. And we're not the only ballpark in the league that does it now, and there are a handful of places throughout the league. It's unique. I think it invites a fan who might not otherwise, you know, be inclined to come to the game because they do stay at home with their pets. It's cool, and if it gives my wife a chance to slap the Mariners jersey with the little number 1 on the back of my Bulldogs, I think it's well worth the price of a ticket.
You also, if I'm remembering correctly, didn't you have to perform a pool rescue of one of the Bulldogs?
I did, and unfortunately, he passed away.
Oh no!
But he lived a long life. He was a 9 to 12 month lifespan, and he lived to be 15. So. His deal with the devil came to an end, but he was an awesome dog, and I will never forget having to dive to the bottom of the pool because he was sinking, but he made it through a couple more years after that.
Well, that's great. Jerry, we always love talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. I was at the game yesterday, and I know we've all been getting out there. Jim's going to Bark in the Park tonight.
Wait, did you hear Danny at the park, by the way, Jerry, because he was screaming his lungs out?
I missed them, but it's only because it's awesome to see Safeco Field filled right now, and it's been an electric environment. And if one voice gets lost in there seems to be another 30 or 35,000 to cover it up.
Yeah, and the other thing
but
missed.
This is a really obnoxious voice.
Yeah, missed is not the right verb for that. Like nobody misses me when they don't hear me. Thank you so much, Jerry.
All right, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jerry.
That is Jerry DePoto, his weekly appearance with us, which is always a blast, brought to you by Ram Trucks and by GEICO.